Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
From the Society for Nautical Research, in partnership with Lloyd's Register Foundation, I'm Sam Willis, and this is the Mariner's Mirror podcast, the world's number one podcast dedicated to all of maritime history.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Mariner's Mirror podcast. Today, I'm in the wonderful Barrow-in-Furness. Now, if you don't know where Barrow-in-Furness is, then just imagine you're in Liverpool, so west coast of the UK, about halfway up, and Barrow is to the north of the very southern tip of the Furness Peninsula. Now, I live in Exeter in Devon, and I've been trying to work this out on my journey here, and I reckon that Barrow is about as inaccessible from Devon as anywhere else in the entire UK. Though, what a magnificent journey it is to get here. I particularly enjoyed coming past Furness Abbey on the train, which was founded almost exactly 900 years before my visit, and was once the most powerful Cistercian monastery in the country. Now, this history of lost influence is something of a theme up here. Those who live in Barrow will no doubt argue vociferously that because they still build nuclear submarines, they still remain influential and innovative. Now, I don't want to contest that, of course, but I'm up here today to look at the history of shipbuilding in Barrow. And it doesn't take long to realise just how important this place once was, somewhere with a deep and safe port, with easy access to the Irish Sea and from there to the Atlantic, with fabulous natural resources for shipbuilding in the industrial age all around the town. Now, I'm here more specifically because the Dockyard Museum at Barrow, which is something of an engineering marvel itself, built over one of the original dry docks here, well, this museum has the most mind-blowing collection of ship models. And for those who are close followers of the Mariner's Mirror podcast, you will know that we have a great interest in ship models here, in particular in bringing them to the public. Last year, we filmed two ship models at the National Maritime Museum using ultra-modern camera equipment to bring you as close as technically as possible to these models. And the results are astounding. You can find them on the Mariner's Mirror podcast's YouTube page. Models of Brunel's SS Great Eastern and HMS Royal George, a first-rate ship of the line from the mid-18th century. Inspired by these remarkable videos, the Lloyd's Register Foundation have now launched their own project called Maritime Innovation in Miniature, in which they are exploring the history of maritime technical innovation through ship models, using the same innovative filming techniques. You can find the project at the History and Education Centre of the Lloyd's Register Foundation at hec.lrfoundation.org.uk, or probably quicker, just Google Maritime Innovation in Miniature. And so today there's a film crew in the museum tackling two of the finest models in the most remarkable collection here. Those models are HMS Vengeance, one of Queen Victoria's most distinctive battleships, and RMS Orion. Launched in 1934, she was one of the most innovative passenger ships of her age, a landmark in the evolution of the modern liner. She really was a ship of the future. I took a break from filming to have a chat with John Irving, the building manager from the Dock Museum and a Barrow local through and through. As ever, I hope you enjoy listening to John as much as I enjoyed talking with him. Here is the enthusiastic, entertaining, enthralling John. I am with John Irving, and he is the business premises manager. That's correct, at the Dockyard Museum in Barrow. We're here filming for the Lloyd's Register Foundation's Maritime Innovation in Miniature series. So if you haven't checked that out, do make sure you do so. It's at the History and Education Centre's part of the Lloyd's Register Foundation website. You'll be able to find links in this episode. And we're here to film two extraordinary models. So I should say at the beginning that Barrow Inverness has an amazing shipbuilding history from the 1870s onwards, and not only did they build amazing ships here, but they also built models of some of the amazing ships they built. There was even a model shop on site, and so some of those fantastic models have been gifted to the Barrow Dockyard Museum, which is why we're here. We're here looking at two of them: HMS Vengeance, a Victorian battleship built in 1899, truly remarkable model. And then something a bit different, the Orion, which is a passenger steamer from the 1930s, which changed forever the whole history and design of passenger ships. So, John, what it's been quite chaotic. Let's take me through what's happened this morning. Have you been enjoying it?
Well, this morning I suddenly discovered there's another 5 o'clock in the day, just so I could get down here. And then we obviously met yourselves and the film crew and a company that we've used to remove, should we say, the very large glass casings that obviously protect all of our collection. But there were four strong lads, and I hope they had their Weetabix for breakfast.
Yeah, well, let's just talk about this. So these models are in glass cases. The models themselves are enormous. They're 2.5, 3 metres long?
Yeah, yep, some of them certainly 3 metres long.
Yeah, and they're in massive cases. And the, I mean, the glass is, or one of the bigger ones, was easily 3 metres. It's a panel of glass that, I mean, phenomenal. But we don't reckon anyone's been in these cases for a century, maybe.
No. No, certainly from when they were created to when they were brought here, it would be here when the glass would have been put on. So we're certainly talking 3 decades since they were last opened.
Extraordinary. And so that was, the cameraman, Roberto, said it was like watching them dismantling a bomb, which was, I thought, quite astute. It was terrifying.
It really was terrifying. I'm just glad the curator wasn't here today to see it. But so far, so good.
Yeah, I mean, at one stage, I think there were 10 people just standing around, not wondering what to do. Nonetheless, it's all been done very safely, very professionally, and we are going ahead with the filming. So let's just talk about, you know, the
history, the maritime history of Barrow to start with. When did it become a shipbuilding centre?
You've already said, it was 2 years ago, but obviously with COVID they couldn't celebrate it. So, and funny enough, this Friday we're having the 150th celebration of shipbuilding in Barrow. And that's in partnership with obviously BAE, as it is now, BAE Maritime Systems. And we are hosting their anniversary party.
Wonderful.
So that is this Friday. So the timing is perfect.
Okay, so I should say, for those of you who've not been to Barrow in Furness, I doubt there are many of you out there who haven't been here. The Dockyard Museum is stretched over the old dock from about 1870s, one of the old docks. And we are shadowed by, I don't even know what it's called. What's the enormous shed behind us?
Well, there's two now, but the original one that we're shadowed by is Devonshire Dock Hall, and that's where they obviously built the first round, if you were, of the nuclear submarines. The next ones that are coming up, them to build a bigger shed because they're a bit longer.
So what they did, I suppose, back in the 80s or so, was it BAE, they were building the nuclear subs and they needed to do it in secret.
Yes.
So no one could see what was going on. So they built, it's the biggest building I've ever seen.
Yes, it really is. Commonly known around here as the shed.
Right.
But
yeah,
that is some big shed. Like you say, it houses nuclear submarines.
Yeah, so we're in the shadow of the shed. So, you're 150 years celebrating shipbuilding in Barrow, and it's all to do with the access to iron.
Basically.
Iron ore, isn't it?
The access to the iron ore, and they were originally when Barrow was formed, because 160 years ago, Barrow was but a farm. Everywhere else historic around here, the ancient capital was Dalton in Furness. But you're right, they discovered the iron ore, started manufacturing, and they're starting to ship it, obviously, all around the world, basically. Mm. But what they thought of was, well, instead of shipping it all around the world, we can just build the railway lines to supply the docks and built the docks. So that's when the shipbuilding itself, because we had all the raw materials here.
Yeah.
So it made sense to actually build them here.
And an amazing harbour.
An amazing harbour. It was natural harbour, but obviously all the sea defences were put in, and it's slightly relocated from its original position, which was going to be up around the Peel Island area.
Right.
But then they obviously did all the surveys that they would do back then, and obviously they created the dock system that we've got down here.
Yeah. And there was, you know, many years of very successful shipbuilding with a reputation for innovation.
We really are, and it's still going on today, and that's what Barrow itself is really proud of. You are right, 150 years ago, through all the decades that we've gone through then, Barrow was always produced innovative submarines, shipbuilding, new designs, but it still goes on today that they are building the world-class nuclear submarines.
Yeah, it's great news, isn't it? And still a major employer in
the
town.
It's still very major. It's gone through all the various names, but it's still one of the major employers in the town.
Yeah. Yeah, and the museum here gives us a real sense of the variety of ships that were built here. Tell us a little bit about some of the ships that were built. I mean, it's quite interesting that they're from different countries as well. I mean, people may not know about that, but Britain, yeah, the forefront of building ships for everyone.
Yes, we've got one model in here. Well, we've got two models of us building for the Imperial Japanese Navy.
Yeah.
We built two submarines for Estonia. They were both built back in the 1930s. And we celebrated with them for a trade deal last year, and we found out so much about these submarines that the submarines, when they were purchased, actually cost 20% of their GDP.
Wow.
For the whole year.
Wow.
And they've only ever had two submarines.
Yeah, not surprised.
One was sank, the other is in the museum in Tallinn.
Oh, yeah.
So you are right that, you know, we just don't build for the Royal Navy. Over the 150 years, we've built for many countries,
yeah,
around the world, both civil and military.
The Japanese Navy is an interesting one, isn't it? You've got a model of Congo, is
Congo,
it?
Congo, yeah.
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 And do you get really Japanese visitors?
We really do. And when speaking to them when they come in, they have specifically come to Barrow, on obviously the tour of the country, but they all come to Barrow simply because of a lot of the links that we have with Japan. The Mikasa is obviously their big floating museum out in,
yeah,
Japan, so that was obviously
that
here.
That was built Barrow
that
as well.
That was built here, so there's a natural link there. And in the town hall that we will be exhibiting soon, there's a lot of like porcelain or gifts that were given to Barrow or the shipyard from the Japanese emperors of,
wow,
the time. So again, the Japanese people just, they want to come and see. And we've had one family that said their great-great-grandfather was on the Congo, and they were in absolute floods of tears just by seeing the model of it here.
Yeah. It's amazing, those kind of international connections. I don't want to be rude, but Barrow really is, it's not very close to anywhere else.
That's one of the good parts about it. That is one of the good parts. But you are right that we are, if you were, the hidden gem that does have many, many international connections, mainly through the shipbuilding itself. Because equally, people that come in and learn the trade, or the contractors, they don't just come from this country either.
No.
You know, at the minute, we're getting the best people in here to design the best bit of equipment. So, you know, on that way, on for the industry side, Barrow is on the map, and also it's the gateway to the lakes.
That's interesting as well, because they, I was reading that when Barrow was set up as a shipbuilding centre, there was obviously nothing here, so they needed to bring shipbuilders in. They brought them in from Glasgow.
Yeah, they came. Glasgow is right.
Well, and Tyne as well, maybe.
But you think of all the other trades that go with shipbuilding, you know, equally from actually getting the iron ore out of the ground.
Yeah.
So there's the huge Cornish representation up here, Welsh, Irish, and you are right for the Glasgow and the specific boat building trades themselves, but everything else that's around them industries, people migrated, if you were, to Barrow. And back in the 1870s, Barrow was known as the Chicago of the North.
Chicago of the North.
Because it took that many people coming in, and a lot of the housing estates that, you know, they were built, they had to be built really quickly to house all these people that were coming in. So there's various parts of like Hindpool, certainly parts of Walney, that are all terraced housing.
It was a planned town, wasn't it?
It was. Walney was a planned town for Vickers.
Right. So let's go back to Vickers, and who were Vickers?
It was the Vickers Armstrong that were part of, you know, the shipbuilders themselves. So obviously when they started and all these workers came in, they had to house them all, but also leisure facilities, sporting facilities, recreation. So all that was specifically built, and that's when the Walney is an island that's half a mile away. Let's create Walney Island as a residential area.
Amazing.
And I enjoyed looking around the museum, and it was interesting what you were saying about the international connections, because there's a bit with a... you've got a Viking horde. We should talk about that as well, which is quite cool. But next one is a Chinese horde. And I've not seen one of those before. And I'm fascinated by that, because it had been, they suspected it had been left by a Chinese sailor who had been here because of them building the Chinese, a ship for the Chinese as well, which I liked. What else have you got in the museum?
Originally, the Dock Museum was the town museum. The town museum got relocated. Mm-hmm. So originally we were going to be a maritime museum, but the people that were supporting that, obviously that folded, so the Barrow Borough Council then took it over, so it became the town museum as well as the maritime museum. So certainly on the entrance area that you've seen, you can walk around, and it's the history of Barrow from basically from when it was a farm right through up till the modern day. Obviously not a lot of people would know, but Barrow was badly bombed in the Second World War, so we have a huge section on that. Obviously again, they were looking at the rail network, because Barrow was pivotal in the rail network, as well as obviously the shipbuilding capacity as well, and all the ammunition around it. So we have quite a big section on that. You are right, we can go right back to the time when the Viking hordes were found, which was really interesting, and they're still finding them in the area, although we haven't found a Viking or Roman settlement yet, and that is something. I hope I'm here when that does happen.
Yeah, I mean, it'd be almost implausible that there wasn't one.
No, and it's just finding it.
Yeah.
That is the key. So, yeah, as a town and maritime museum, we're proud ourselves that we are a small museum. We are a small museum. Our footfall is really good. And under the Visit England guidance, for the first time we've gotten to the 90%. We've been put in for various awards under the small museum. So, yeah, it's a really friendly, happy place and a great way to spend a day. And the best of it is, Sam, we're free.
Yay, that's wonderful. And I absolutely guarantee that it's true. And you're really leading the way, helping us with the, helping Lloyd's Register Foundation with this ship model project. So thank you very much.
You are more than welcome.
Yeah, brilliant. Great talking to you, John.
And you.
Thank you all so much for listening. Now, if this all sounds exciting, you must hunt out the Lloyd's Register Foundation's project, Maritime Innovation in Miniature. The best way to get there is just Google Maritime Innovation in Miniature, and you will see the mind-blowing results of today's filming, as well as those original films I mentioned on the Great Eastern and the Royal George from the collections of the National Maritime Museum, and also another model, a fabulous liquefied natural gas carrier, a type of ship that is leading the way in our transition towards a carbon-free future and is enormously important to the modern world's maritime economy. Please remember that this podcast comes from both the Lloyd's Register Foundation and the Society for Nautical Research. Please check out both of those wonderful institutions. You can find the Society for Nautical Research at snr.org.uk, where you can join up, and I would urge you all to do so. Thank you so much for listening, as always.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight, and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.